are very difficult to understand with our material brain. In fact, they are never understood. The Shastras say that there are three very essential qualifications to understand spiritual subject matters. If you remember, SSI, submissiveness, service and inquiry. These three are very essential to understand spiritual subject matters. Actually, one can never expect to fathom all the knowledge about spirit soul and all the knowledge about Krishna and all the knowledge that Krishna possesses. We cannot fathom. We are after all tiny, minute parts and parcels. And the Lord is like the ocean. Still, one may question, how can this tiny living entity understand the infinite Lord? We are infinitesimal, and Lord is infinite. How can we understand? The infinitesimal can understand the infinite by the mercy of the infinite. That's what we are understanding. So Lord has given us some capacity to inquire about Him and understand Him and surrender to Him submissively and ultimately achieve His lotus feet. So there are some things within our capacity to understand. There are some things which are beyond our capacity. So Srila Prabhupada used to say, whenever somebody would ask this question, why did I fall into this material world? So Srila Prabhupada would say, this is exactly like asking a drowning man in an ocean, asking, why did I fall down into this ocean? Who kicked me from the ocean? And somebody is throwing a life raft at you. You say out of ego, no, I won't catch it. Unless I know how I fell down into the ocean, I am not going to catch it. That is meaningless. At first you should catch hold of it. And after climbing into the ship, you will certainly come to know how you fell down. In the same way, you all have come to Krishna consciousness, you surrender to Krishna, and try to appreciate the fact that our knowledge and our abilities are limited. We cannot fathom everything. You cannot know everything. After all, you are not Krishna to know everything. So, Srila Prabhupada at different times gave different answers to this question. How did the living entity fall into this world? Krishna gives a straight answer in Bhagavad Gita. Icha dvesha samuttena dvanda mohena bharata. Icha means a separate desire to enjoy. And also dvesha is envy. Because of this one thing, the living entity fell down into this world. And Krishna also tells Arjuna, Arjuna, I am giving you this knowledge because Bhakto Asime Sakacheti. You are my devotee and you are my friend and you are asuya, non-envious. And asuya ve, he says. So I am giving you this knowledge. So it's very clear that because of separate desire and because of envy only we have fallen down into this world. But it is very difficult to comprehend how in such a beautiful spiritual world that we can never become envious. How is it possible? The reason is said to be causeless unwillingness of the living entity to be separate from Krishna. So you have to meditate on what are these words. Causeless unwillingness. That means you can never be unwilling in spiritual world. So it's called as a causeless unwillingness. Nobody knows why you ever felt like that. You wanted to be independent. Causeless unwillingness to be independent of Krishna. And when this causeless unwillingness comes, it is not difficult for the living entity to come to the material world. Because the living entity is infinitesimal and very minute, and he can be very easily overwhelmed by the maya potency. Just like if you take a cup of water and throw it on a spark of fire, it can be extinguished, is it not? On the other hand, if you throw a cup of water in the sun, can extinguish the sun? On the contrary, sun will extinguish the water, isn't it? In the same way, the sun is compared to Krishna. And the sparks of fire coming from the sun could be compared to the minute jivatmas. So Krishna can never be covered by maya, where the living beings can be covered by maya. It is possible. So when the living entity, as soon as he desires to be separate from Krishna, immediately maya has two potencies. Avaranatmika shakti. Avaran means covering. And prakshipatmika shakti, kicking potency. Maya covers you and kicks you to this material world. Go there and think you are separate. So this is what Maya does. So now Maya has put a covering on our eyes so that we cannot see Krishna. And we can be under the grand illusion that there is no God. It is only our desire. We requested Krishna, please Krishna, send me into a place where I can imagine that you don't exist. What a nice idea Krishna has made. So he has sent us to a place where we can imagine there is no God. And then now the covering is there and there are so many people very hotly arguing there is no God. And there is no surprise in that, because that's what we wanted and that's what Krishna has fulfilled. So many things are going on in this world. So the Prabhupada sometimes gave an example how all of these things began. Just when the living entity once feels, please Krishna, I want to create something for you. Then Krishna says, what do you want to create for me? I have everything already created. You don't have to create anything. You are not a creator, nor you are an enjoyer, you are simply a cooperator. So you just cooperate with me. The living entity says, no, 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 I want to create something. Please fulfill me this desire. Then Krishna says, okay, you want to just create? You go to the material world. He sends him and makes him Brahma. And when he becomes Brahma, and he creates all the different planetary systems and all the living beings, chara, achara, everything. And after the secondary creation is over, now Brahma has got his desire fulfilled. So what is he supposed to do next? Return back to the spiritual world, because his desire is fulfilled. But generally he doesn't return, because after creating, he starts thinking, I am the karta. I am the creator. Karta ahamiti manyate. He thinks, I am the creator. So the moment Brahma thinks, I am the creator, then he falls down into an ordinary human being. And then, again as a human being, he may do so many activities due to which he may further fall down to animalistic species, either a dog or a cat or so many other species. So this is how the fall down begins. So this example, once Prabhupada gives to explain how the living entity can fall down into this world. So this is something which we can comprehend, is it not? This example. So in this way, this is only one idea we said. In this way, there could be many ways by which the living entity can fall down into this material world. Because he is tatastha, as he rightly said, and he is infinitesimal, he can be overwhelmed with the maya. Also, he is endowed with the freedom either to choose to love Krishna and serve him, or to be independent of him and come to this material world. So his independence is there, so he stands a good chance to come here. It's no surprise. And as far as the word path and parcel is concerned, we should understand it very nicely. We should understand the philosophy of achintya, bheda, abheda, tattva. Achintya means inconceivable. Bheda means difference. Abheda means non-difference. So there is a simultaneous oneness and difference between the jivatma and paramatma. There is oneness also and there is difference also. That is the meaning of path and parcel. Like the hand. Is it one with the body or is it separate from the body? It's simultaneously one and separate. Because hand is a part of the body, and you cannot say that I will give a laddu to the hand and satisfy the body. Is it not? The hand has to put the laddu in the stomach. Only then the body will be satisfied. Similarly, the jivatma, when we say the jivatma is the path and parcel of Krishna, we should not mistake the jivatma is either hand of Krishna, leg of Krishna, nose of Krishna. It's not like that. We should understand it clearly. In the creation, there is nothing that is separate from Krishna. Everything is an expansion of Krishna. In the last session, we were discussing about the Swamsha and Vibhinnamsha. We all are parts and parcels of Krishna. And there are also Swamsha, who are all Vishnu Tattvas, namely Mahavishnu, and Keshava, Narayana, Vamana, so many avatars are there. They are also expansions of Krishna. And these are all spiritual expansions. And here we have the material world, like what we are saying, the sun, moon, stars, planets, these are all inferior material energy. Ultimately, all these things are emanating from Krishna. So, in one sense, everything is a part and parcel of Krishna. Why do we call it a part and parcel? Because everything emanates from Him. Janmadhyasya yataha. Everything emanates from Him. So, we can say the children of a particular father and mother can be called as the parts and parcel of the parents in a very broad sense. You understand this example? Like the son is the xeroscopy of the father, or the son is the expansion of the father. In the same way, the living beings are all parts and parcels of Krishna. So, how can the living entity be separated? There is a story in the Bible which we often used to quote. I will tell you briefly the story of prodigal son. There was a father called prodigal, and he had two sons, one obedient son and one disobedient son. The second son, being disobedient, he took a share of his money from the father and went to a faraway place to enjoy. And he tried to enjoy, and he spent all his money and became a pauper. And then he had nothing to eat. He had no place to live. He was just wandering the street like a vagabond. And he met a very rich landlord who offered him a job of feeding some 100 white pigs. And he told him, whatever you feed to the pig, you also eat the same wheat flour. And he was doing that, and he became frustrated in such a life. And he wanted to return back to his father. But he was feeling shy on one hand. On the other hand, he thought, let me go at least as a servant to meet my father. And when he came back to his father welcomed him warmly, embraced him, and showered tears of joy, and took him back in his own house. So this story is set in Bible to explain how the living entity is like the second son. He wants to be independent, and the Lord just fulfills it, so that he can learn his own good lesson, and then return back to him. So this story is very easy to understand. This is the same thing that happens to all of us. We all are originally millionaires. How are we millionaires? Because our father is a millionaire. But now we have lost the address of our father. So what do you call a person who has lost the address of his millionaire father? Is he a beggar or is he a millionaire? Who can answer? He is simultaneously beggar and millionaire. Isn't it? Because as long as he doesn't meet his father, he is a beggar. But as soon as somebody puts him in touch with his father, he is a millionaire. Isn't it? So now he is wandering here and there, not knowing his father's address. So, that is how we have to understand the aspect of part and parcel. And Gaurav was asking a question about how human beings have become very advanced, and they are going to other planets, and they are doing this, doing that, so many things. We may put some people on another planet and they may think we are God. Unfortunately, these are all very far-fetched ideas that we are imagining. You see, the modern science makes us feel that we are the supreme controller, although we are actually not. Just like you can see, you have a mouse in your hand, and you move the mouse, and it moves on the screen. You can click whatever you want. Isn't it? So you think, I have control in my hands. You think like that. And then you have a, what do you call that? Remote control. And then you lie down in your bed and you do like this. And then the screen changes, volume changes. And you think, oh, I am the supreme controller. You think, Parameshwar. Think like that. Or you are going in a car with some of your friends, and then your cellular phone is ringing. And you feel wonderful. Very nice. Oh, now my friends will come to know how rich am I. My cellular phone is ringing. Then you attend people say, oh, he's a very rich man. He's holding this phone. What do you call this phone? Mobile phone. So I think I have control. The entire world is in my hands. So in this way, the modern science makes you think that you are the supreme controller. But you will see that by using all these things, still you are completely controlled. When you get problem of the bubbles, you have to run to the lavatory. Are you the supreme controller? How many minutes can you control it? When you have to pass urine, you have to run. Isn't it? Similarly, in the night, if you have insomnia, are you the supreme controller? I was going to bother with a big program. One boy used to come in the earlier days. He came and he was practically weeping tears. He told me, for the past 1.5-2 years, I could not sleep. I have gone to so many doctors. Will this mantra help me? I want to take something. Please help me. I want to sleep. Whole night I am unable to sleep. All the boys are so nice to sleep. Whenever I see somebody sleeping, I feel how fortunate is this person. Unable to sleep. So he was weeping that he is unable to sleep. But there are people who are weeping that I am sleeping too much. Isn't it? So those who are sleeping too much or those who are unable to sleep, they all are completely controlled. In the night, you are stuck to the bed, like that. And of course, your mouth is open and you are fast asleep. Are you having supreme control? What is your consciousness in the night? You don't even know where you are. Isn't it? Your dog is sleeping in the platform and you are sleeping in a dumbbell pillow bed, but both asleep, there is no difference. You don't know whether you are in the platform or in the bed. You can imagine so many things. But there is no difference. What is your control when you are sleeping? In the same way, eating, when you eat food, sometimes out of greed, intense greed of the tongue, you gulp down so many things into your stomach. Things which you cannot even digest. Then they go and sit in the stomach for 2-3 days. And you have, when you are painfully purified, isn't it? When your stomach is paining, you lie on the left, lie on the right, then you take gelicil. You take so many things, you go to the doctor, you don't know how to digest it. Every time you are burping and coming out of the nose, rice particles are coming from the nose. So you have difficulty. So you can see how this body is controlling you at every point. If you have indigestion, you suffer. What I am telling you is very practical to understand. When you get diseases, when you get headache, when you get stomachache, so many diseases. So we don't have even control over our own body. What to speak of having control over other planets? What's this idea? We don't even know the earthly planet. How much do you think we know about the earth? Science puts you under the illusion that we know everything. Today we are thinking that the earth is shrunk because of the communication systems we have. But if you take a survey, the amount of area of the earth that we know of is very small. There are large portions of the earth which you do not know anything. Arctic, Antarctic regions, if you see, and besides that there are many regions. Recently we had a report called Runs Along the Amazon, given by a few people who went to Brazil in the forest, where they found 30 meter long lizards, and they saw mosquitoes which are of apple size. They have taken video. Even scientists are not aware of these things. You know that? Have you seen a mosquito size? Mosquito of apple size? So they have taken video of all these things. It will be coming very soon and it's gone all over. So there are many portions of the earth which you do not know. There are many hidden secrets even within this earth. There is a region called as Bermuda Triangle. So they found that any aeroplane which passes on the top of the Bermuda Triangle, immediately it would start getting twisted and mutilated, giving a big noise, and then be sucked into that triangle. Scientists are wondering, what is this? They sent many planes and the same thing happened. And they sent a man, and they saw that immediately the young boy turned into a very old man, in the order of a few minutes, and then he was sucked into that Bermuda Triangle. So scientists came to one conclusion, that here is a place where time flows very rapidly. That means in a few minutes, 2-3 minutes, something like 50-60 years pass in a few minutes. So there are many hidden secrets. We have a book called as Into the Unknown. We have a book which talks about all the great mysteries that are hidden even within this earth. Because science puts you under the illusion that you are the supreme controller and you can control everything, you are thinking, we will do this, we will go there, we will do that. It is all simply illusion. You have no control. And even if you succeed in going to some other planet, they are putting somebody there and they are thinking that you are the God, let them think, there is no problem. But we know that through science, as we explained in the earlier sessions, we will not be able to arrive at the absolute truth. 100% you can take it for granted. Isn't it? Because we have imperfect senses, we are put into illusion. When you put into illusion, you commit mistakes, and then you are cheating propensity. Through science, we are never going to. Through the existing science, using our limited eyes and ears and nose and tongue and skin, we are not going to perceive the truth. So the Vedas claim that they are the truth, and they say, you hear this and understand, and then practice and accept. So you read the Vedas and understand and try to experience what they are saying, as you rightly said towards the end. We do not know what the Vedas are saying. So let us assume that it is true or it is false. Hear them, understand them, practice them, and if it doesn't work, you may leave it. Isn't it? If it doesn't work, understand that it is bogus, you leave it. But if it works, then you will realize that it is true. That is why last week we were asking a question, how many years have you spent for studying material science? 15 years, 16 years, to come to this point which all of you have achieved now. Whereas the knowledge about God we have learned very little. At least we should hear it for 2 or 3 or 5 or 6 years. Then by learning it and understanding and practicing, little by little we will get realization. And when realization comes, then there is no other proof required. That realization comes from within. As Krishna himself says, Tesham evana kampatam ahamajnana jantamaha nashayani atmabhavastho jnana dhityana bhasata. He says, even if one is an uneducated man, he has no education, but if he sincerely surrenders to me, for such a person, I give him the knowledge about me and about everything by lighting up the torchlight of knowledge within his heart. The Lord is saying. So this is something which has been practically proved. Srila Prabhupada says, in America, there are boys who have finished their MS and even doctorate from the most esteemed universities. But these poor fellows, they have no ability to control their senses. They have to go to the nightclubs, they have to smoke cigarettes, they have to drink liquor, they have to go for call girls, they have to go for such things. They have no control over their mind and senses. Whereas in India, there are people who have not even gone to school to learn even A-A-E. They don't even the action. But because of faith in God and belief in the scriptures and by regular systematic practice of Krishna consciousness, they have achieved such a high status that they have completely controlled their mind and senses. Just imagine. That means, if one surrenders to God, the Lord will enlighten such a person from within, even if he cannot read the books. That is the beauty of Lord. And that is the beauty of the knowledge of the Vedas. Even if one cannot read Vedas, if one surrenders to one who knows the Vedas, then such a person can become enlightened from within by the arrangement of Paramatma. Lord Vishwadas Babaji, who was a grand guru of Srila Prabhupada, he was not an educated man. He was an illiterate. But he possessed the treasure of Krishna Bhakti within him, that all great educated scholars would come and surrender at his lotus feet. Even his only one disciple, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, who is the guru of Srila Prabhupada, he was such an educated man, but he surrendered to this Gaur Krishnadas Babaji, who was uneducated. Why? Because he was possessing the jewel of Krishna consciousness. So, the knowledge about God can never be understood by challenge. We can challenge, even material science for that matter. If you go to a college, in the very first year, if you challenge your teacher, get out of the class, I will say it myself. Even material education is difficult. You need some kind of support. So, spiritual knowledge, the Shastra says, yastadeve parabhatya, yatadeve satagu, tasyate, kalitasyata, prakashante mahatmanah. It has to be, prakash means it has to be, it has to come to you by enlightenment from within. It is not something that will come to you by challenge. Challenge may go for some time. You can challenge and I can give a counter answer, and again you can challenge, you can have question and counter question. This kind of tarka, Shastra say, has no end. Arguments have no end. Tarko apatishta satyo vibhinna. He says there is no end to such arguments. These truths have to be understood by submissive inquiry and hearing and putting into practice, and then it has to become a practical realization from within your heart through enlightenment. That is the process. So, as far as the Supreme God is concerned, somebody may ask, the Shastras were given by Krishna and Krishna is now in another material planet. Krishna is probably sitting in Mars and he gave the scriptures where it is written Krishna is God so that we all can worship him. Somebody may speculate like that. We do not know whether it is true or not. But the Shastras say Krishna is Supreme God, so you accept it and you practice it and you see whether the result that you are talking about is working. No material person has the ability to generate attraction and love for him by writing such books. There are so many people who have written their autobiography. But how many people read such autobiography? How many people have developed love for them? It's not possible. And even if you have such a love, that will be there only for one lifetime. But the Shastras are talking about eternal love. In fact, we have seen people, for example, Gandhi writes a book, My Experiments with the Truth. Somebody may read that book. Many of you must have written, isn't it? You all must have read the book. But how many of you became like Gandhi? How many of you are wearing dhoti and kurta? How many of you are holding a stick? How many of you are working for the nation? You may read and keep it aside. Very nice. You may not be able to surrender to Gandhi. But the Lord is so supreme that by His beauty and by His strength and knowledge and opulence and enunciation with everything and all His pastimes, He is so supremely attractive that a person can become intoxicated in love for Him. And he can become ready to give everything for His service. God is supremely attractive. You can see the saintly people who are giving up everything for Krishna's attraction. Sometimes people are very speculative. I always used to tell them, what do you think is the driving force in the life of a fully surrendered person? Like in our temple, there are so many brahmacharis living. These people have shaved their heads. They have given their life completely. They have no other goal in life. Every morning they are up at 3 o'clock. They are chanting 2 hours of Hare Krishna, Maha Mantra. And they are entering services in the day. They do not see television. They don't go for movies. They don't play cricket. They don't read newspaper. And still you find them every morning jumping and dancing and singing happily. And not just 1 or 2 days. It's not only in the weekend for IVF meeting. It is what? All day, every day, 30 days a month, 12 months a year, and for the entire lifetime. How are they able to do that? So somebody was arguing, no, I think these people are, under some illusion. It's like something like hypnotism. Even if you think it is hypnotism, how long the hypnotism can go on? Like some people do mesmerism or hypnotism, which goes on for a few minutes. After that, when the person comes out, he realizes, oh, I have been cheated, isn't it? Whereas in Krishna consciousness, you see, the person is completely dedicated and he can go on and on and on. And he can control all his mind and senses. And he can lead a simple life. And he is happy with nothing. That can you see such people. This kind of attraction can come only when Lord Himself offers the knowledge in the Shastra. So, the very first step in spiritual knowledge is to understand that we are completely controlled. To the degree we think we are the supreme controllers, to that degree we are putting a barrier between you and God. We are unable to progress in the knowledge of God. And to the degree to which you understand that you are controlled on all directions, which is actually true, which is not an imagination, it is actually true. You can very easily understand that in your own lives. In fact, what I told you is examples outside the range of what we generally discuss. Like, you have Atyatmika, misery from the body. You have Atibhautika, misery from other living beings upon you. Atidaivika, misery from the material nature. Are you not controlled by all these things? Are you not suffering the pain? Srila Prabhupada says, in the television in America, at least 12 different types of tranquilizers are advertised. 12 different types of painkillers are advertised. Prabhupada says, this is a proof that people are suffering. There must be some suffering in the world, he says. Nobody can imagine that there is no suffering. Anybody here may argue that there is no suffering, I have no suffering. Simply for the argument's sake. Simply to inflate your ego. You may argue that there is no suffering. No, I argue with you that I am very, very happy. Please believe me that I am very happy. When you are saying that, 10 mosquitoes will bite you. And you have to keep on biting, even beating the mosquitoes. Even when you are saying that. You cannot tolerate, there are so many kinds of pains in this world. So, we are controlled at every point. And why are we controlled is the question that we all should ask. Who is controlling? Why are we controlled? How can we understand how we can become free from the suffering? Then as you said, science has no answer. Vedas have answer. Let us see it and understand and practice. And let us get a practical realization. We all will get the practical realization. And as we ask the question of faith, I agree with Gaurav, that certainly there is some amount of faith. For that matter, in this world, nothing can happen without faith. Even when you are going to a barber shop, he is shaving you and he is showing your necklace, he is putting a knife here. Don't you have faith in him that he won't kill you? If he wants, he can cut your neck. But you have complete faith that this fellow won't cut me. Isn't it? Do you ever doubt him? If you doubt, then you have to grow a long beard. Never sure. Isn't it? So in this world, everywhere there is faith. we have so many examples. When you go in the bus, you don't check the license of the driver every time you go, do you? Or when you go to the doctor, he gives you so many tablets, green color, blue color, red color, yellow color, and you swallow all of them without asking any question. Do you know what is there inside those tablets? Do you know how they work inside your stomach? You don't ask any question. Are you not blind? Is it not blind sight? Suddenly blind sight. We can cite innumerable evidences in the material world where we are putting blind faith. So when you can put so much faith in all these material things, why not put little faith in the Vedas and hear what they say and practice what they say? Let us see whether it works or not. Isn't it? We should at least give a try. I think other questions you answered very nicely. Ajmagari explained about soul and super soul. So the super soul has to be properly understood. What is the purpose of super soul? Somebody was asking the question. Please understand, all of us have an eternal loving relationship with God in the spiritual world. In fact, that eternal love is the only reality. Everything else is illusion. The soul and the supreme God Krishna and the loving relationship, that is the only reality. Everything else outside this is all simply illusion. So this material world is explained to be something like a phantasmagoria, like a passing cloud. Sometimes you see the cloud in the sky, it looks like a beautiful bungalow. Is it not? Sometimes it looks like a beautiful vehicle or like a chariot. If we take different shades and if somebody rushes to the sky, he will not be able to see anything there. It is all simply a cloud, passing cloud. In the same way, in the material world, when the Jivatma comes, the Paramatma brings him to the material world. And the Jiva thinks that I can be independent of Krishna and I can still be happy. And he assumes different types of pleasures in this world. And he establishes false relationships with so many people. We call somebody as a mother. There is a soul in that mother's body. We call somebody as father, somebody as brother, and somebody as sister. Who are all these people? It is all simply souls picked up from different places, four or five souls, and put together in one family. And one soul is called as mother. Another soul is called as father. Another soul is called as son. Another soul is called as daughter. Another soul is the pet dog, the house. So there are five souls in one house. And all of them are thinking, oh, this is my pet dog. This is my mother. This is my father. I love my mother. I love my father. I love my son. I love my daughter. We all are nicely imagining. Actually, all these souls have only one eternal relationship with Krishna. But because we have forgotten that love, we have now concocted a new love. So this material world is sometimes called as a mental asylum. Because in mental asylum, if you go, sometimes you find somebody says, I am the Prime Minister of India. Some fool says, I am Prime Minister of India. Other person says, I salute you. He salutes him. So they are doing some place like that. And they are having some false relationships. In the same way, when we come to this material world, we establish many, many false relationships. But what is the one relationship that is true? That is our eternal relationship with the Lord. It is very difficult for us to conceive of that sweet, loving relationship at this present moment. But it is very easy to comprehend when you think, if you love your mother or if you love your father the most, you can imagine what type of love you have for your father. Father and mother. All of you, don't you have love for your father? But this is a temporary father to whom you have love. So Krishna is our eternal father. So now we can understand how much love we should be having for Krishna, which is now covered. We are unable to understand it and appreciate it. But when we think of our love with our existing father, we can understand how much we should be loving Krishna also. In the true sense. So just like a father takes a child to the park to play, sometimes the child is coming down the slide again and again. What do you call that? You call it a slide? Slip. So it is very nice, very enjoyable. He does that once, twice, thrice, four times. And then after some time he gets bored. Okay, now I enjoyed a lot. Let me go and see something else. And then he goes to a seesaw and then he sits on that and breaks his back and cries. So sometimes and fulfiller of our desires. And he wants us to learn our own good lesson. the wandering in this world. She has no intention to see us getting into bad habits, as somebody was asking about cigarette smoking. Srila Prabhupada said, just like a child, if he wants to put his finger into this fan, will the father allow? But the father knows, if he puts his finger in this fan, he will cut his finger. So the father says, you want to put your finger, my dear child, it will hurt you, your finger will be broken. Child is very adamant. And the father says, okay, he puts out the fan. And the fan is rotating slowly. Then he says, now you put your finger. Then he puts his finger little inside. And then it hits it. It is so painful. And the child realizes, oh, when it is so slow, it is so painful. When I put my finger into grinding, what will happen to me? So he realizes. In the same way, we all devotees now realize, before coming to Krishna, how we have been wandering in the world, doing so many abominable activities. So we all are very detrimental to the soul and very dangerous for the body also. So Krishna, in order to teach us a good lesson, he sometimes allows us to do such things so that we may learn our own good lesson, because we are very adamant. And as Atul rightly said, love cannot be forced. So he wants us to learn our own good lesson and then become purified. Otherwise, Lord has no intention in making us suffer in the material world. In fact, he is more eager to take us back to the spiritual world than the eagerness that we have to go towards him. If you take one step towards him, he will take 10 steps towards you. In fact, the Paramatma is always calling, please turn this side. I want to give you some knowledge. Jyotma is saying, oh, don't disturb me. Mind your own business. Don't trouble me. I am busy. Working hard. Working very hard. I'm going here, I'm going there. I have to do this. Now I have 2 branches. Now I have 5 branches. Now I have a branch in that city, this city. But who asked you to start these branches? As a Prabhupada calls it as self-created duties. In one wants, he can do some work in the material world for earning his livelihood. And then spend the rest of the time for surrendering to Krishna and learning about the relationship between him and Krishna and return back to the spiritual world. But what do the living beings do? They want to completely forget God and the relationship with God and spend all their time in materialistic activities. And the more they do materialistic activities, they become more and more entangled. And they create more and more duties. And they create more and more relationships. First, you are a single man, like all of you know. Now, how many relationships you have, all of you know? You have your father, you have your mother, and you may have probably brother, sister. So now you have 4 relationships. Now after 5 or 10 years, how many relationships you will have? Then you will have wife, and then you will have 1 or 2 children, isn't it? And then you will, like if you are marrying your wife, then your wife's brother will be there, brother-in-law will come, and then your wife's father, mother. So your relationships are developing. So you come with 1 or 2 relationships and then develop into 20 and develop into 40 and develop into 100, 200, like that. So in this way the living entity develops his bondage to this material world. Like I was telling about the relationship, same is the way he develops in his karma also. He wants to become more and more entangled in the network of karma. So these are all called self-created relationships and self-created duties. So once you be very careful, not to forget the prime duty of life. Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishwaro Harihi Shrotavya Kirtidravyascha Smartavyascha Chitabhyam. He said, when Parishit asked the question, it's a $1,000,000 question. What is the topmost, foremost duty of a person who is about to die? You all may wonder whether you are talking about death. You all are very young. Why should we think of death? But death may come at any point of time. So we should know what should one do at the time of death. So he says, Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishwaro Harihi. One should do Shrotavya, hearing about the Lord, chanting his glories, Shrotavya, Kirtavya, Smartavya, remembering him at the time of death. This is the prime purpose of life, especially at the time of death. So keeping this as the center of your life, if you are doing the other activities around it, then there is no problem. So Krishna should be kept in the center of your life. Just like you take a compass and draw a circle, you can draw hundreds of concentric circles. They will never clash. Is it not? But if you keep the compass in one place and draw one circle, keep compass in another place and draw another circle, so there are different centers, There are different circles and all of them clash. Similarly, when Krishna is not the center, we have different sense gratification desires. And there are so many others to compete with us. So because of the competition, there will be clashes. So our bondage will accrue more and more. So all of us should keep Krishna at the center of our life. And keeping Him in the center, we can do other activities. And we should do our duties in such a way that they don't entangle us more. Rather, they help us to turn towards Paramatma. As soon as you turn even a little bit towards Him, He starts showering knowledge to you. Like imagine Atul, how long you came back?
Two and a half years.
Atul just came 2.5 years ago. And you can see him speaking. He's speaking as if he has spent 25 years in the movement. Isn't it? Such pure message is coming, emanating from his mouth. Because by turning towards the Lord in the heart, he has achieved this special mystic potency to deliver such a lecture. So the Paramatma is only supplying the knowledge. He is telling him, now you speak this word. And the next sentence should be this, you speak like this. And then he is actually borrowing the sentences and he is speaking from his mouth. Even what I am speaking now, I have no ability to speak. In fact, some 5-10 years ago, I was such an introvertish person. I cannot look at the face of another person. If two people come in front of me, I will start shivering. But now I can face 100 people. Yes, Paramatma is helping me to speak. So the Lord is waiting to shower us with knowledge. We can take a shower bath of knowledge. So much knowledge He will give you. There is an ocean of knowledge. So it's available. But how can we get it? We should just turn our face towards Him and request Him, please kindly give me the knowledge. Nashirami Atma Bhavasto Jnana Deepena Bhaswata. I will destroy the darkness in your heart and I will enlighten your heart with transcendental knowledge, the Lord is saying. So we have to turn towards Him and Paramatma will give us the knowledge. This is the relationship between Jiva and Paramatma. And when the soul returns to the spiritual world, what is spiritual world? There is simply loving reciprocation between Lord and the Jivatma there. It's an infinite, eternal pastime where the living being is constantly rendering service to Krishna and Krishna is constantly wanting to serve. How can we conceive of such a thing? That is understood if you read Ramayana, Mahabharata or Srimad Bhagavatam. In the scriptures you see how the Lord is acting and reciprocating with His devotees. By reading the scriptures, you understand. Like in Mahabharata we read, in Indraprastha, when Yudhishthira became very opulent and he wanted to conduct a Rajasuya Yajna to glorify Krishna, then he invited all the Kauravas, all the great sages and everyone all around the world. So different services were allotted to different people. Duryodhana was made the treasurer for collecting all the gifts that were coming to Yudhishthira. Similarly, everyone was given, like Vidura was given, I think Vidura and Bhishma, they were the supervisors of the entire Yajna. Similarly, Nakula and Sahadev, Chandra Brahmanas, everyone was given a particular service. And Krishna voluntarily took up the service of washing the feet of all the Brahmanas and the great sages who were visiting the Rajasuya Yajna, who were all participants in the Rajasuya Yajna. So the Lord was washing the feet of all the people visiting the Yajna conducted by Yudhishthira. So the Lord voluntarily takes such a humble position. Or you see the Lord driving the chariot of Arjuna. You can see how the Lord is trying to become a servant of His devotee. And the devotee is trying to become a servant of the Lord. So there is a competition. But this is a very sweet competition. It is not an envious competition. In the material world, there is an envious competition. Isn't it? Always, like for example, in the queues you can see, people are now crowding. I will go first, you will go first. Everyone is trying to go first and push the other person aside in the queue. Or you see somebody, if you have a suitcase, it's very heavy to carry. If your friend says, you carry the suitcase. If you have your dress and your friend's dress in the suitcase, what does he say? You carry it. I will go and book the ticket. So he wants to give the load to you. And you think, why should I carry his dress? And you say, you carry it. So both of you want to push off the suitcase to the other person because it is heavy. But in spiritual relationships, what do you do? Both of you are pulling the suitcase. I will carry it. And he says, I will carry it. You have seen that? Even amongst neophyte devotees,
We can see this. Even amongst young devotees, there is a competition to serve one another. How many of you have got this practical realization? Oh, almost 95% of the room. Isn't it? Even amongst devotees. Even we people who are not yet free from envy, who are not yet free from lust, pride, envy, anger, all these things, if we can have such a loving reciprocation in the purest form, how much more loving relationship Krishna and his eternal devotees can reciprocate? This you can easily imagine. Isn't it? And that is like a festival in the spiritual world. Every day, this is our only activity, day in and day out. Speaking with Krishna, dancing with Krishna, making arrangements for Krishna's enjoyment, playing with Krishna in the covered, along with the covered boys and cows and calves, dancing with Krishna and Dasa dance, and the parents having loving reciprocation with Krishna. These are all eternal activities of the soul in the spiritual world. So, to some extent we can all appreciate and understand how the spiritual world must be looking. Srila Prabhupada said, if you see the Srimad Bhagavatam book with its pictures, all these pictures are windows to the spiritual world. Isn't it? Like, what's your good name? Surendra is seeing from the window. He is able to see all of you here. Isn't it? That means window means through which you are seeing actually the reality. Is it not? Similarly, Prabhupada said the pictures are windows to the spiritual world. That means when you see the Krishna conscious pictures in the books, many of you must have seen. In the temple you have seen Krishna and the covered boy sitting. Yeah? Krishna and covered boy sharing prasad. Or you are seeing Radha and Krishna singing in a jhulan. And next to that you find Krishna and covered boy running along with a thousand calves. So these are all called as windows to the spiritual world. So through this you are seeing what is happening in the spiritual world. Practically you are seeing. This is what is happening in the spiritual world. So all of us are going to join this eternal Leela. As we become purified. That is the condition. So for becoming purified, we are chanting this Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Why I was so clear cut in my speech? Because many times people do not know what is the ultimate goal. Why are people not taking interest in spiritual life? One very strong reason is they do not know actually what is going to happen to them after death. Some people are afraid. If I get moksha, where will they go? Will they be hanging in the sky? Or will they go into some light? They do not know exactly what will happen. So the Shastras clearly say, this is what will happen to you. Don't be afraid, nothing will happen to you. You will just go into the spiritual world, which is your original home, and dance and sing with Krishna, and feast with Krishna. This is our eternal life. So we all can join that eternal pastime of the Lord, provided we agree to go through this purificatory process of Krishna consciousness. The beauty of this process is, the means and the end are the same. What is the means? Chanting Hare Krishna, dancing, today we went for Harinam, and then feasting, taking prasadam. So after going back to spiritual world, what will you do? There also you will chant Hare Krishna. There also you will dance. There also you will take prasadam. Isn't it? It's the same activity. So the means and the end are same. So we are doing some things now for purification, and after purification we will continue to do the same, but in ecstasy. Now we may not have ecstasy. Now many of you are hearing and thinking, when will this fellow finish? He is going on and on and on. It doesn't appear, he will not stop today. So, in spiritual world you will hear, and you will never want Radha Shyam to stop. You will want him to continuously speak. But in the material world, we are looking at the watches, getting late. Oh, I am feeling tired. I had to go and take rest. I had to do my assignment. So many inabilities. So in spiritual world, we will do the same activities in ecstasy, in joy. Here if you are told to dance, come for Harinam, raise your hands and dance. You feel little shy. How many people are looking at me? What do they think of me? You feel little shyness. Or if you have to dance in the temple, you have some shyness. In spiritual world, you will just guilelessly dance with a free heart, without any inhibitions. So that type of joy one can experience in a liberated state. I think probably prasadam is the only thing which we very happily do. We have no problem. Any of you have problem eating prasadam? I don't know. That is one thing. So we can begin from prasadam, then learn to hear and chant, understanding that it is meant for purification. In the liberated stage, we will perform it in ecstatic love. Hare Krishna. Any one question? Some of you are raising hands at the end. Sandesh? Lovely. Actually, Paramatma knows what is best for us. So we may suggest him that why don't you do like this? Why don't you give me the remembrance? Because we think this is what is best for me. But many times the child doesn't know what is best for him. Father knows what is best for a child. Child asks the father, why don't you allow me to play? Why are you controlling me? Why are you asking me to study? The father knows studies are the best things to do now for the child, otherwise he will fail in the exam later. In the same way, we may think that by remembering the previous life, I may become serious. But by remembering previous life, you may go crazy. In one lifetime, you got an accident. Another lifetime, you murdered someone. Another lifetime, you were a snail, or a cat, or a dog. If you remember everything, you will just go crazy. Sometimes, if you get malaria, you take this chloroquine, you know. You take the tablet for malaria, you go to hallucination. You know hallucination? That tablet produces hallucination. My Lord, 1 week you practically suffer because so many complicated things come in your head. And you go crazy. You know, where are you existing? Who are you? You just go out of your consciousness. Just this tablet is making us so crazy. So if you remember all the previous lives, you can probably go mad. So Paramatma knows to what extent he should enlighten us and give us knowledge about our previous sufferings. In fact, for devotees, Krishna gives a special mercy by which he makes them realize that they have committed a lot of sinful activities in the past. Krishna makes them realize. That's why devotees cry, oh Krishna, I did all these mischievous activities. I was a liar. I was a perpetual liar. I was a mischievous man. I was a rumor monger. I was doing so many activities. Now how did you accept me at your lotus feet? So great Vaishnavas pray like that. Krishna, how did you allow me to come in the association of such wonderful devotees? I don't appear to be belonging to their category. I am like a black sheep in a herd of white sheep. So Krishna gives such a realization in the heart of a sincere devotee. By such a realization, devotee can become more surrender. Some other question there?
Krishna says that Sarvanya Vadigaraste.
Yeah.
Then why should we pray? Why should not we do our karma?
Krishna says Karmane Vadigaraste, but the second part of the sloka says Ma Phaleshu Kadachana. That means he says you do your work, but you are not entitled to the fruits of action. But if you are not entitled, then who is entitled?
Yeah, Krishna is studying to fact, but why should we think of him?
Yeah, because he says, the Lord says that we have an eternal loving relationship with him in which we have been constantly reciprocating the spiritual world. That is an eternal relationship. Just like, for example, don't you think of your father and mother when you are living in Pune? Why do you think of them? If some, one of your friends says, now you are becoming an engineer, why don't you forget your father and mother? Do you forget? But why do you think of them? Do you feel homesickness?
I can see them now.
Yes. Similarly, we can see Krishna also. Certainly, we can see. We only need the eyes to see. See, prema anjana charita bhakti vilochanena. He says, if you have the prema anjana, if your eyes are tinged with the salve of love, we can see Krishna. And people have seen Krishna. And Krishna says in the Shastra, it is possible to see him. Pashyantite me, he says. Pashyantite me rizaranyam basantaha prasanna bhaktraruna lochanani rupani divyani varapragani Sakam Vasam Prahaniyamadanti. Pashanti says, they see, my devotees are seeing me. Not only the devotees see, they clasp their hands with Krishna and dance with him. They play with him. They joke with him. They chastise him. They are doing so many things with him. They are reciprocating with Krishna as much as we both are talking now. That much devotees can reciprocate with him when they become more purified. So, I was giving a material example to you, like your father and mother. Because you have love for them. And that love is very easily understandable, is it not? The love you have for your father and mother. In the same way, the love for Krishna is also there, but that is hidden now. Just like when you take the iron ore from the ground, it is covered with so much muck, dirt and dust. But when you remove all of that, put it in a cupola, you know cupola? In the first year engineering you study, put it in a cupola and melt it. Then you can cast it in, then you can get castings from that. In the same way, all the impurities have to be removed. So that because of impurities, we are unable to appreciate that it is possible to love Krishna. We wonder, how can we love Krishna? I don't feel any love. We wonder. But actually we have that love, that is covered. That love is covered with, just like if you see iron rod, which is red hot, but covered with ashes. But if you blow it, like that you blow, then all the ashes will go away. And then you can see the red hot iron. In the same way, the impurities have to be blown out. Then we can experience the love for Krishna. So he says, you are not entitled to the fruits of action and you have to offer the fruits of your action to me. This is Vajnartha Karmanaha. You should offer the fruits to me. Only by doing so you can become truly happy, he says. That is the constitution, like the hand has to serve the stomach. If the hand has to become nourished, is it not? Can the hand become nourished without serving the stomach? Is it possible? Can the hand take a laddu and enjoy itself? Even if the hand is having the laddu for 100 years, can the hand become stout? Hand is going to suffer. He will actually become thin. Actually laddu is in the hand. Still he will suffer. This is the condition of Americans. Americans have wealth, Americans have women, Americans have prosperity. Everything they need is there. It's like the laddu in the hand. But they are unable to enjoy. Why? Because they are not offering them to Krishna. When you offer the things to God and then enjoy them, then you can experience joy, like the prasada. First you offer the bhoga to the Lord and then you accept the prasad and you eat it, you become purified. So this is the way the devotees do. In India, there is a custom, even in homes. Like when Diwali comes, they buy the clothes and then they put some kumkum in that and offer it to the Lord first and then they give the dresses to the children. You have seen that? Similarly, when they cook at home, they throw some water around and they say Krishna Arpanam, they say, then they offer the food to others. So devotees know the truth, know the fact that everything you take in your life, first you should offer it to God and then you should accept. By doing so, that whatever you are taking, that will purify you. Correct? Because everything comes from Him. Is it not? Is there any one thing that you have created? Even when you are doing work, for example, there is a carpenter who is doing the work. Somebody is supplying him materials for doing the furniture. But after doing the furniture, after doing this desk, can you say this is mine? It belongs to whom? It belongs to the owner who supplied it. So in our case, we may say, okay, Krishna supplied everything to me, but by my intelligence and intellectual abilities, I created this type. You may say, but the brain also comes from Krishna. Intelligence also comes from Him. Hands He has given, legs He has given, everything He has given. So using that only we have done. Only one thing we have, that is our free will. We have to give up that free will and tell Krishna that, Krishna, I surrender my free will to you and I offer everything to you. That's what the Lord is expecting. And when you surrender in that way, so it's not that Lord is a dictator who says that you surrender everything to me and you become a servant, I'll step on you. He doesn't say that. In fact, He becomes your servant. Like Arjuna was a surrendered devotee of Krishna. But what did Krishna do? Krishna was riding his chariot. So Krishna became his chauffeur. Because Arjuna was his devotee. So this is the relationship between Krishna and his devotees. Is it clear?
But instead of loving Him, I do love for other people. Then what, which is the goal?
You can try to love others also, but all the other souls of this world are like parts and parcels. Is it not? Like the, if you take a tree, there are leaves, there are twigs, there are branches, there are flowers, there are mangoes. And if you want to nourish all the parts of the tree, will you go to every leaf and put two, three drops of water? Will you go to leaves and then branches and then little in the flower, little in the mangoes? Will you put water like that or will you put water in the root? If you put water in the root, the entire tree will be nourished. Similarly, Krishna is the source of everyone that exists. You know the story from Mahabharata, isn't it? When Krishna ate the shark leaf, all the living beings are satisfied. Similarly, all of us here, we are trying to satisfy Krishna so that all living beings will be satisfied. Correct? But we have to do our duties to father, mother, brother, sister, society. You do your duties. But at the same time, learn how to serve Krishna. By doing that, all living beings will be satisfied. Somebody else had a question?
Grandfather
has told from this, there is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita,
if Paramatma is in our heart,
when we get a feeling by external feeling, or the same feeling also mentioned, if what is yours, then another chakra passes. What? We get a feeling that he is present?
No, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. Actually, the Paramatma is present right next to us, and he is speaking to us also, actually, but we cannot hear him. Sometimes we call it as conscience. You know conscience? Like when you are going to do something wrong, then you get an inner voice. Don't do it. Like if somebody is chastising you. And you say, no, I want to do it. Don't do it. He's pulling that side, you are pulling this side. There's a tug of war. Sometimes you still continue doing what you are not supposed to do. So that is the voice of Paramatma. But why we are not able to hear it? Because the Paramatma's voice is also mixing with the babble of voices that are coming in the heart. There are many voices coming from the mind, coming from intelligence, and coming from our, stemming from our various desires. So Paramatma's voice also is there. But the amplitude of our own desires are far higher than the Paramatma's voice. So we are not able to hear them, hear his voice. So when all the other voices, they gradually reduce, it's like the waves of an ocean. When our mind becomes calm and cool by chanting Hare Krishna, then one can hear Paramatma's voice very clearly. And every time what you should do, you will get instruction from him. When you want to do something, you will ask, oh Lord, what should I do? And then he will tell you, do like this. And immediately you will do, and it will be a correct thing to do. So you can hear that voice. But for that one has to become very pure. One has to become more and more purified for that. I think we will stop here. And we will do 5-10 minutes kirtan. And I think many of you haven't taken prasadam, right? It came late, no? So I'll just do 5 minutes kirtan. And they can take prasad. Juice also is there. Mridanga? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.